Welcome to the February 26, 2012 edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. Today in our sermon from Pastor Randy Karstens, we return to the Hall of Fame of Faith as we discuss one of its main members, Abraham, in a sermon titled, Lord, You Want Me to Do What? If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, and also to Genesis chapter 22. Here's Randy.
And then we can look in our bulletins or turn in our Bibles because we're back in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Before I read that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word and we pray that your word would come alive. It's not living in the sense that it always changes, but it's living in the sense that it has a heartbeat and it's your heartbeat and we want your heartbeat, Lord. So we pray you might graciously grant that to us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 11, I'll read verses 11 and 12 and then skip down to 17. This is the word of the Lord. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And verse 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. That's the word of the Lord. Now, last week we talked about contentment. And really, contentment ties in to faith. It ties into this Hall of Fame of Faith. Why? Because you can't really learn contentment without having a strong and active faith. You see, the God that we're worshiping today, He is in the midst of our life. He is in the midst of your life each and every day. And sometimes it's in His love and His plan that He gives us situations that don't naturally lend themselves to making us feel contented. And the reason He does that is because He wants us to learn that. We talked about that last week. That contentment is not a matter of circumstances, but contentment is a matter of conviction. It's a matter of believing that God exists and that He rewards those who seek Him through everything, through the thick and through the thin. And it's learned as we seek to see the world through God's eyes. And it's mind-boggling. And it's supernatural. But that's what faith is. You see, God made us to know Him and to enjoy Him. And so it's really simple. All we have to do is find out what pleases God and ask Him to give us the grace that we would be pleased with whatever pleases Him. It's really very simple. At least it's simple until you try it. Because the fact of the matter is, we, as Isaiah says, we all tend to go our own way. If we can do it on our own, we will try. And sometimes God has to get us to those places in our lives where we find out that we really can't do it on our own. Periods of confusion, periods of uncertainty. Our life is full of question marks sometimes rather than periods. And God tests us. And He does it to improve and to prove and to purify our faith like the refiner's fire. And the refiner has something in mind for each one of us. And sometimes we get it, and sometimes it takes a while to grasp exactly what He's doing. That's true in our lives, and that's true in this story today as we look at Abraham. Because what God is doing is incredible. He is asking Abraham to sacrifice his miracle child. Now let's back up a little bit and backfill this story in Genesis 11. It says that Abraham's wife Sarah was barren. She didn't have any children. She couldn't have any children. And then soon after that, in Genesis chapter 12, and in five other places, what we read is that God promises that Abraham is going to be a father of a great nation. So there's something weird going on here. He's going to be the father of a great nation, and yet his wife is not able to have children. So how's he going to do it? Now, that means, follow along with me, that means that if Abraham believes what God said, He has to not only believe that God can do the future, that one day he will have a child, but also that God can create a future that's not humanly possible. It's impossible. Sarah's womb was closed, the Bible says. Maybe this impossibility is where the Lord wants to get Abraham to go. It's a test. And in this test, will Abraham have the obedience of faith that will allow God to do the impossible? And I think that's a question that we always need to periodically ask ourselves. As we put ourselves in Abraham's shoes, which I encourage you to do, the question to ask is, do I want to see God do the impossible in my life? Not just my impossibles, but do I want to see him do his impossibles in my life? That's a question for us always to be asking, really. When I was little, I read a Dr. Seuss story. You might have read it, A Fish Out of Water. Actually, it was another story, but it came out in book form, A Fish Out of Water. And I remember it well. The little boy went in to buy a goldfish, and the pet shop owner, Mr. Carp, was giving him some instructions about how to feed him, to be very, very careful when he feed him. And he said, never feed him a lot, never more than a spot, or something may happen, and you never know what. And sure enough, the whole story was about that. Do I really want God to do in my life, in his way, far more than, as our benediction often says, more than I could ever ask or think? That's a dangerous question to ask yourself, for something may happen and you never know exactly what. So anyway, the stage is set. It's humanly impossible for God to fulfill his promise. And it goes further. In Genesis 12, Abraham was talking to the Lord. He's thinking about how God was going to fulfill his promise. And he says, well, Lord, there's Eliezer. He's in my household. He's the guy that's going to get all my stuff when I'm gone. Maybe he's the one. Maybe he's the one that's going to, somehow it's going to work with him. Well, the Lord said, it must have been nighttime. The Lord says, Abraham, take a walk with me. Let's go outside. So they go outside. Just look up in the sky. You ever done that? You know, at night when you go outside and it's dark, you look up in the sky and you see stars. And if you stare at long enough on a clear night, as your eyes adjust, you see more and more and more stars. That's the idea I get when Abraham is out there with the Lord. And he said, see all these stars? That's the number of the people that are going to be in your family. And it's not going to come through Eliezer. This heir is going to come from you. He made a promise. So then that's settled. Okay, it's going to come from Abraham. He knows that. Well, he wants to do right as we move along in the story. He wants to do right, and Sarah, his wife, wants to do right as well, wants to help out. So she comes to Abraham and says, I have an idea. Since I can't have children, why don't you take my maidservant, Hagar, and have a child with her? And one thing led to another, and that happened, and Ishmael was born. But he wasn't who God was talking about, because God was arranging for the impossible. He is the God whose promises come true. He is the God of grace. And that's the only way this thing was going to happen. Not by human ingenuity, by working it out, though that's good. Not by the fruit of human effort, not by self-reliance, but by the grace of God. And the story continues. They must have thought, okay, this is great. We've got Ishmael now. It's all taken care of. Things are going along. Maybe 10, 12, 13 years after this, something happens again. God comes to Abraham and he says, no, Ishmael's not the one that I'm talking about. He's not the son of promise. But Sarah will have a son. So he said, I will do the impossible. Now, there's a little indication here that possibly Abraham, by his reaction, that his faith was wavering a little bit. Because when God told him that, the Bible says that Abraham laughed. Basically said, I'm an old guy. And Sarah is, I love her to death, but she's pretty old too. And I don't want to get into any more details, but there wasn't much medical stuff back then. It was difficult when they got that old to have children. And so he laughed. He tells that to God. And he says, Lord, we've got Ishmael here. Got to work. Why don't you just work it out with him? But the Lord said, no, Abraham. Your wife will bear a son, and I will establish my promise through this son. Well, a number of years went by. Then we pick up in Genesis 18. Verse 10 says this. This is God talking. He comes to Abraham and he says, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, the Bible says, which was behind him. She's there putting her ear to, you know, had the glass and everything right up to the door there. And she's listening to Abraham talking to the Lord. And then the Bible says, now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Now it's time for Sarah to laugh. She hears what's going on, and she laughs herself, saying, after I become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Talking about Abraham. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I'm so old? Then he says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Well, there it is. Sometimes God puts us on the path of impossibility. And he does it to show that there's nothing that's too difficult for him. He does what he wants, and he does it in his way. And we might not know all the details on the path of impossibility, but we know that nothing will keep him from his purpose. And if we want to connect to the blessings of the Lord, then we need to connect to the purpose of the Lord by living by faith in the word of the Lord. Take them, guard them, figure out how to live by faith. So then Isaac is born. He's the miracle son of two proud parents. And God did everything. He saw that he was going to make a promise to Abraham that was humanly impossible to fulfill. And he did it by showing that Sarah was barren, and that even when he went to say, let it be Eliezer, he said, that's not it. And then he rejected the human solution when Abraham had the child, Ishmael. And then he waited until Abraham and Sarah were so old that they couldn't have children. And then he came to them and says, in 1 year you're going to have a child. Imagine what that year was like. Well, the story continues. All that is a backfill to where we want to get today. It gets intense. In Genesis 22, it says, sometime later, God tested him. He said to Abraham, Abraham. Abraham says, here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I tell you about. That's crazy. What is going on here? I mean, that's what the Canaanites do. That's not what God's people do. This wasn't the first test for Abraham. He had had other tests before, and he had passed a number of the tests, but he'd also had tests that he had failed. A couple of them, when he went to Egypt, you know, he was worried that he was going to be killed, so he told the Pharaoh that his wife was really his sister. Now, it's not a complete lie because they were related, but yet he did it to save himself. And then later with Abimelech, he did the same thing. He was afraid. And what he did is he put God's promise on the line. Because if Pharaoh would have acted on that and taken Sarah as his wife, then Abraham would have been out the picture. And so he failed in some of the tests, but God didn't stop with it. Tells me something that makes me very happy. It tells me that the people that are in the Hall of Fame of Faith are not perfect people. They're like us. In fact, you can call them, they're from all walks of life. They're all types. There's no certain trait of personality. Some are there even in spite of themselves. And that's good. Because that means that improbable people like them, who are like us, can step out. It means that we have a chance. And sometimes God does the impossible for those who are improbable. Can you imagine the thought process that Abraham is going through after he received this command? Okay, God, you promised that my descendants will come through Isaac and there'll be more than the number of stars in the sky. Now God wants me to sacrifice him like the heathen do. And that doesn't make sense. So here's the test. Will Abraham reason his way out of obeying God, or will he trust the humanly impossible that God will make that come to pass? And then in our passage in Hebrews, verse 19, we see the answer. It says he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead. You see, God can do far more beyond all that we ask or think. And who knows, maybe all the tests that Abraham went through were used by the Lord to prepare him for this great test that he was about to go through. Get him to the point of trusting God in this intensity. To be told to sacrifice your son on the altar with a knife, there's nowhere, that's a horrific thing. Add to that, all of God's, that's bad enough, but all of God's promises that he'd been saying and restating and phrasing in another way and getting across, it was, they're all tied to the fact that Isaac would be living. He had to live. So there's a lot of questions. A lot of questions there. Not that different from us, because we have questions from time to time. Some are that difficult. Physical trouble can cause us to question. Lord, why didn't you answer my prayer? Lord, why do you let people suffer? You know people like that. The pastor at our last church who founded the church, by the time we got there, he was the pastor emeritus. Great man of God. And then as he got older, he was in a... He moved into a home for assisted living where he contracted Parkinson's disease. And he spent 3, 4, 5 years racked in pain of Parkinson's disease, shaking, reciting scripture over and over and over. And I thought, Lord, why would you do that? Why would you give this reward to this man who has served you? You know, we have questions like that. And they're hard sometimes to get our arms around that. Whatever they might be. Why didn't you keep me from this decision? Or, Lord, what have I done to deserve this? Or, Lord, I know it's what you want me to do. Why is it so hard for me? Lord, if I give up my Isaac, I really question if I'll be happy. See, there's always questions. But they're good to ask because they're there. But in the end, questions don't trump faith. Faith trumps questions. And the power and the presence and the love of God overrules our circumstances 100% of the time. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen, even when we're convinced that there's no way, no matter how impossible it may seem. Because faith says, I believe that God exists in my situation and he wants to work for his good, and in it there is a reward. And I believe that his good is my good, even when it doesn't seem so, because his promises are true and real and more lasting. Well, Abraham accepted God's command because he arose early the next morning. And you know, acceptance is a vital part of faith. It's saying, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to trust the Lord and I'm going to step out. And contentment, ultimately in every and in any situation, when it comes to this idea of contentment that we talked about, it comes from submission to God. Now you think about this. You might say, well, it's a moot point. God knows what's going to happen. He knew beforehand that he was going to provide a ram. I mean, it's kind of a moot point, and it's just sort of a dry run. You know, it's no big deal for Abraham that it was going to be like this. I mean, Abraham already believed that even if he did put the knife to his son, that God was going to raise him from the dead. So what's the big deal? But think about this. If you were Abraham, even if you were certain about the character of God and about his promises, and you're walking by faith, and the only thing that you could imagine, the only way you could figure this would work out, is that God was going to bring Isaac back to life, wouldn't it still be unbelievably gut-wrenching to raise that knife and bludgeon your son? No matter what you believe, to sacrifice this in this impossible moment, be messy. Life is a lot more messy sometimes than we want it to be, and even with the greatest faith, it still, I don't think, could have been easy. Because that blade went up, and Abraham had done this before. He had been with Isaac when they had done this before. And it was up there, and there's nothing else right at that moment. It was a raw, raw moment, an impossible moment. It was just God and Abraham and Isaac, sacrificing his promised miracle son. He was going to do it. And he was going to trust God even in the midst of something that was absolutely impossible, I think, to comprehend. Martin Luther once read this story, this Bible story, for family devotions. And when he had finished, his daughter Katie said, "I do not believe it. God wouldn't have treated his son like that." But Katie answered Luther, "He did." Well, God said stop to Abraham, but God didn't say stop to the cross. He provided a ram for the sacrifice in Isaac's place, and he provided his son in our place. And if God can provide his son for us when we're in the midst of an impossible place, then can't he do all things? So then, what is your Isaac? What's the one thing that you're holding on to that maybe you need to give up? That sacrifice, you need to sacrifice it so that God can do the impossible. Maybe it's an attitude, maybe it's a way of thinking, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a proud possession, maybe it's a conviction, or maybe it's an area where it's difficult to exercise faith. You know, this is not like giving up an idol. I mean, maybe Abraham did idolize Isaac. Maybe he did. I don't think so. It wasn't an idol. You're not giving up an idol here. I mean, Isaac was an incredible miracle. He was a blessing. He was an impossibility, a stamp of the Lord's hand in his life. And Abraham had a life full of memories with him. He was his cherished son, and yet Abraham is now willing to give him up. Maybe we need to pray, "Lord, show me my Isaac. Just how much of me do you want, Lord? How far do you want me to go?" Sacrifice is surrender. Sacrifice is acceptance. Sacrifice is faith. It's saying no to something that you prefer in order that you can say yes to God. It's like taking your preferences and placing them on the altar and telling God, "I want to keep this. I want to have this, or I want to do this. But you're speaking to me, and I'm going to give it up." All over the world, as we saw today down in Mexico, God is taking the improbable and he's doing the impossible. And are we willing to say, "Lord, do the impossible with me"? Let's pray. Father, we do pray that. We do thank that. We know we've got feet of clay. You know that. That's why you sent your son. Help us to remember what your son has done for us. The salvation, the eternal life that we have, and the rewards that we have in him. Thank you for your wonderful promises, Lord. Help us to, when we go through times of impossibility, help us to think about the impossibility of the cross. And indeed, Lord, you are mighty to save. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. Send us an email at info@firstepc.org and let us know you're listening or how we can pray for you. Thank you for listening. This has been a production of First Evangelical Presbyterian Church in Anna, Illinois. Until next time, may God bless.